Vince, we're on a little bit of a crunch, so you ready for rapid fire?
Let's go, rapid fire!
I actually just realized what time it is, and we said before that, you know,
we're
having
a great time.
It's all good. Yeah, that's right. It's a party. It's the IV cocktail hour with Yingling provided. So
you can't get it like through the screen here.
I know. That'd be nice. Like just salty, just kind of send it right over. So Kirk Herbstreit was on the Pat McAfee show this week, and they talked a little bit about Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. This one starts with one of McAfee's sidekicks, Boston Connor, asking Herbstreit about Marcus Freeman.
Notre Dame, there's a video of Marcus Freeman kind of getting the boys going before the game. How do you feel about their performance, obviously, on offense?
Dude, I appreciate you going there because, man, I walked out of there. I'm glad you brought him up. I forgot to bring him up. I love that. I love that.
Me too.
AJ knows him better than anybody. Played with James Laurinaitis, part of the Ohio State linebacking crew that was fantastic. Wayne Warrior, but he is an absolute. I don't know if there's another coach that relates to the players better, genuinely, authentically, than Marcus Freeman. And you know, he's got Jim Tressel, you know, and his style and playing for him. You know, he even told me before the game, "Hey, a punt's okay. You know, we're breaking in a freshman left tackle. You know, we got some new people up there." And then he's like, look at right in the fourth quarter. I told you, like he told his guys, we're going to find a way to win this thing in the fourth quarter.
So, you know, not another coach in the country who relates to players like Freeman. You know, I think it's something that we're probably pretty aware of. You know, like we know what Marcus Freeman is in terms of his relationships with the players and stuff like that. But what do you think of the impact when someone like Herbstreit sees that, you know, and talking about it in this way?
Well, he's clearly in the minority as far as the stuff that I've heard so far. So I was a little bit surprised. I mean, everybody thinks that Kirk Herbstreit hates Notre Dame and all this stuff. It doesn't hurt that there's an Ohio State graduate leading Notre Dame right now. I'm sure that doesn't hurt the cause any.
Oh, we're going to go.
I'm just saying it doesn't hurt. That's all I'm saying.
Because of the Ohio State connection.
I'm just saying.
I didn't even think about it that way.
Just saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that's why. I'm just saying it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
But no, he was very complimentary, and I think everything that he said is legit. And I had listened to these comments earlier today. It must have been this morning. I had listened to these comments, and I was a little bit surprised because he didn't hold anything back from the love standpoint. I mean, he was loving some Notre Dame with his comments, which is a little bit of a cry from what he was saying at the end of the actual game itself. So
I honestly feel like you're a little butthurt over a little comment at the end of the game.
I am a little butthurt about that. I'm not gonna lie. I think that was reckless, Sean. It was
reckless. Wow, yes. We're going to court now. It's like libel, slander. Nick says, where was this love and admiration during the broadcast? I will say that, like, watching Herbstreit, you know, like we're hearing him, but like watching him and, you know, just like his demeanor when he's on that McAfee show is so different than when he's doing the broadcast. And, you know, honestly, I feel like he's a lot just more. You know, like you talk about, I feel like he's a lot more just sort of honest and free-flowing and willing to give more opinion, because I think that this would be my read on it, sitting in a, you know, having sat in broadcast booths, and you have too, like for games, it's like when you sit there, everything that you say is going to be parsed and picked apart in terms, like even people reading into things,
you know
exactly what he means about this and that and
everything
else. And I think that it's good that you got to see. What struck me is just hearing Kirk Herbstreit give his honest opinion of Marcus Freeman. And we'll hear some more, you know, comments about, you know, what he has to say about Notre Dame as well. Just like in this setting, I think we got more from Kirk Herbstreit than we probably, you know, actually got in the booth in a long time.
I think he tempers what he says in the booth. He's trying to be more professional. And obviously the Pat McAfee show is a little less than that. So he's a little bit more comfortable to kind of speak his mind. And so,
I mean, we've talked about this before. We were just talking about Cheryl Swoops and what she did or didn't say about Caitlin Clark in a broadcast game setting which is completely different than a talk show. Because like we talked to, remember a couple of years ago, there was a little bit of a minor controversy when Olivia Miles was healthy and Deb Antonelli, one of the game analysts, she works for, you know, like ESPN and ACC Network and all that stuff. And you know, I think she's in the North Carolina Hall of Fame or, you know, something, NC State Hall of Fame or something like that. But, you know, like the comments she, there were comments she made like, well, would you rather have Miles? Would you rather have Citron? And I just felt like that's more a show for, that's like a debate show topic. Now it doesn't go to like what Swoops was talking about, but I just feel like there are things that should be brought up in a game and shouldn't be brought up in a game. Like there are just certain directions that you can't go, but you can go there in a more open forum, like a podcast or a talk show or whatever it happens to be.
And I will also say, like I said, it was a more laid back position, but I think he also had time to reflect on the game itself.
Sure.
When you're in the moment of a game and you're watching a game, you know, and you're seeing it all and you're commenting on it, there's certain things that you could miss. There's certain things that you see that you latch onto, maybe too much. I've been guilty of that. You know what I mean? When you're trying to analyze a game and do all of these different things. So I do think at least 1 or 2 days removed, he's had an opportunity to kind of think back and you know, reflect on the actual game. And so I tend to take these comments more seriously than I do the comments he had during the game. If
right.
That makes sense.
No, I mean, it's a little bit like I was thinking about this with Brian Kelly today. Like I've said this before when Brian Kelly was here, even Brian Kelly should not do post game press conferences.
Right.
He is far too emotional. And we saw that the
He's
other night.
Been that
Brian
way.
Kelly yeah. should stay away from post game press conference. He should just do the Monday press conference when he's had time to get away from it and reflect a little bit, because he can actually, you know, like come up with thoughts and not explode, you know, in front of the cameras out there. And it's a little bit the same, you know, you kind of have a little bit of time away and just, we all rewatch games and stuff like that. And you have different feels for what you see when you're rewatching it compared to when you saw it live.
Right.
The first time.
100%. Sure. Shoot. As a coach, I feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason they go back and look at game film. Right.
Right. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week 1? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game 1 hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Okay, so here's a little bit more. McAfee and Herb Street on Marcus Freeman.
An easy gig, being a Notre Dame head coach.
So that's your first head job? You're the head coach of Notre Dame?
Couldn't even fathom
that's as tough an ask in the college game as there is. But I'll tell you what's great is he's being himself, like you said. But when you talk to him, I hopefully we do a Notre Dame game day because I'd love for you two to hang out. You talk to him, you become a bigger fan.
Oh, yeah.
Way bigger fan. I mean, he is as good of a guy as there is, and it's no wonder they're recruiting well. The program's doing this with him. I mean, they're just beginning, in my opinion, of where they're going with him as a head coach.
So when he said the program's doing this, he was pointing.
Like he went like straight up.
Yeah.
Not even like a.
Yeah.
He was like.
Exactly. You know, again, some pretty high praise there.
Yes, it was
from Kirk Herbstreit.
It absolutely was, and I agree, obviously, with what he's saying. It is a very tough thing for this to be your first, you know, job. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's extremely tough, and I think there was a learning curve there as well. I think we all had, you know, we've been watching him learn on the job, for better or for worse. But I also agree with the fact that he is genuine, and what you see is what you get with Marcus Freeman. He's not a different guy. At least in my experience, and I see him outside of the Notre Dame bubble, you know, at some of his kids' events and things like that. Like, he is who he is. Like, I don't think that there's a persona. I think it's, this is me, man. And if you don't like it, cool. If you do, let's go. I just think that that's who he is. And I think the players can feel how genuine it is.
Yeah. I mean, the players, if it was phony, the players would just roll their eyes and none of it would matter, you know.
Yes.
like when other guys have tried to have whatever, you know, kind of fight, like, I think, you know, you can read that pretty easily, and obviously I don't think that's a thing, but it is. I think that was one of the biggest questions for Freeman, because you're going from a coordinator to being a head coach at Notre Dame with the spotlight and the pressure and all the expectation that comes with it. Didn't work out very well for Bob Davey.
Yeah, good call.
The last coordinator to get an opportunity like that didn't work out very well. And even Charlie Weiss, like, there was some initial success, but remember, he was a coordinator as well, had never been a head coach before.
Never been in college
before. Notre Dame. Yeah. I mean, and that was the biggest issue.
That was the biggest issue, yeah, for sure. Because he treated it like an NFL.
Great offensive mind, but just
– sure.
It was the college aspect and how to develop and build a program, which is essentially what led to, obviously, to Brian Kelly being – the head coach. Complete opposites. So how about this one from Herb Street on his impressions of what stood out to him about Notre Dame players when he saw them Saturday night?
They're only going to get better with Ryland Leonard at quarterback, and that offensive line is so young when they come together. I like the skill when they just, you know, how when you look at when a team comes on the field, Pat, you're big on that. Like, wow, TCU, they're big. Like, Notre Dame, through recruiting, through the portal, they look so different than where they were a few years ago. They used to always have big linemen, big tight ends, big D linemen, big linebackers, and their skill, it just looks different. They're long, they're bouncing, athletic guys.
That really stood out to me, Vince. I don't know about you. I mean, sure. You know, there are obviously some people who just look at recruiting rankings and they're like, well, is Marcus Freeman really moving the needle? But, you know, again, like, Herb Street travels all over the country, and regardless of what you think of him, like, he sees what elite players look like. And, you know, so he knows the difference in what that looks like. So that really stood out to me, hearing him say that about the change in a short amount of time that he's seen from what Notre Dame players look like. Right.
Well, and again, the vast majority of the guys on the field are Marcus Freeman guys, right? And so if he's saying that about this team, he's saying that about Marcus Freeman and bringing these guys in. So I appreciate that he has noticed. I just don't appreciate what he says next, which almost seems like a complete like 180 from what he just said.
This is Vince in a nutshell, man. Like, you can say 80 good things, but you say one thing that gets in its craw.
I'm going to remember.
He's just going to remember you forever. He's going to hate you forever. He's going to yell at you to get off his lawn. Let's just go ahead and hear it.
Freshly cut lawn.
You look at their schedule. It's probably going to be favored in every game they play. The game at the end of the year, all of a sudden, with USC at the LA Coliseum, interesting game to remember and to put on the back of your mind. But Notre Dame is, I think they're mature. They got a great a group together. I think they're a team that's going to be in the playoff without a doubt. It's just a matter of how much better can they get. And can they stay healthy? Because I don't know what kind of depth they have right now.
Massive win in College Station in front of that crowd, obviously. Showing up, big no matter points, what. Everything. Yes. It's a huge win. However it pans out.
Very interesting. They're going to be in the playoff, but he's not sure about the depth. That was the head scratcher to me there.
Right.
Vince, I think you feel the same.
Because he just said they walked out on the field. They're big. They're massive. They're fast. They're long. But I don't know about their depth. Like, I will give him a pass, okay, because of all the good things that he said. I will give him a pass because I feel like he's a national guy who, you know, I don't really have an issue.
What's he really going to know about Notre Dame's and depth in one game?
Right, and I'm okay with that. Like, you're not going to have the opportunity to really dive into the depth and all of that of every single team that you cover. You're going to know who the starters are, the contributors are, the guys you're actually going to have to talk about in the game. So if you don't know that this is the deepest Notre Dame team that has been here in decades, you know what, Kirk? I'll give you that. Cool. I'll right. That's okay.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Because, you know, like, I think it was on the Countdown show when you and Jesse and I were together last week. What did we do? The one word to describe Notre Dame. And my word was deep.
Yes.
This is the deepest roster
right.
they have had that I can remember. And like Leonard Moore played out there Saturday night against Texas A&M.
Good point. Freshman. You know? True freshman.
Yeah, true freshman.
Right.
Out there. You know, like the only two position group, you know, obviously the offensive line stayed out there the whole night. Leonard stayed out there the whole night. But three running backs, you know, that was, and three tight ends. Like, those were the only two position groups that only played three guys. Like, all those positions, like, look at the rotation of the defensive line. Like, I would have thought that the depth of that defensive line would have stood out considering how that game played out in the fourth quarter, you know?
Right. And the depth.
That was a little surprising, but he was very complimentary. Yeah. Otherwise, he does think Notre Dame's to the playoffs.
That's why I'm giving him a pass. Freeman. But, like, clearly the depth was there at linebacker. You rotated five guys. The depth at defensive line was there. You know, you rotated a bunch of guys there. Like, clearly the depth was there. But, you know, he said a lot of nice stuff. So I'll let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Maybe Brian just jumping in. Kirk Herbstreit is the KH that is being referenced. Talking about Kirk Herbstreit. So some interesting comments that I thought that he had. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Jalen Sneed said the last time he saw Marcus Freeman as fired up as he was last Saturday night was after the Marshall game 2 years ago.
It's fantastic, frankly, because he should have been fired up after that game for all the wrong reasons, right? I mean,
right.
That is not a time where you walk in the locker room and you're like, all right, guys, you know what? Let's just flush this loss. You know, we're not even gonna watch the film. We're gonna move on. Like, it's not time for that. It's time for them to know that that's completely unacceptable, period. And it's not only unacceptable by the players, it's unacceptable for the coaches and the support staff and the nutrition staff, everybody. It's unacceptable, right? He should be fired up for that. But I think that's a very interesting reference. I didn't know he was that fired up. I love that he was, though.
Like,
I love it.
He didn't show that, again, like, he stayed restrained, obviously, on the field, but he obviously was, you know, was lighting into some people afterwards, whether the cameras were actually on and rolling. It does strike me that Notre Dame did host Ohio State last year. You know, that was obviously a season after Marshall, and he wasn't nearly as fired up. Like, was he, because it was his alma mater and the hype around it and everything else, was he restraining himself a little bit? I don't know. I just – I will say a lot of people have wanted to see a more fired up Marcus Freeman. I think that his emotion needs to be whoever he is. Again, like going back to his authenticity. I don't think he needs to, you know, to push it and, you know, like, well, like now I need to, you know, whatever kind of thing. He just like, if that's his personality, he just needs to let that personality drive him in whatever direction that he thinks is best for his team. I will be kind of curious to see again, like what that looks like this week when the atmosphere is going to look a lot different at Notre Dame.
That's fair. I don't think he's going to come out all fired up the way he did.
Right.
You know, because then it looks manufactured.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
I don't think it'll be that fired up, but at the same time, whatever the motivation job is, I think that.
Right.
I think that that's being reinforced this week because Snead also did say that they're, you know, they are taking this game very seriously. Like they don't look at it differently. And that's ultimately, I think, how this season is going to be judged, because if that's actually the case and they play that way all season, I don't see anybody being able to beat them. I see an unbeaten team going into the playoff at the end of the year if they're able to sustain and do that throughout the course of the year.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Notre Dame's favored by 28.5 points this weekend against Northern Illinois. Scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence they cover that number?
Like a 6.5, 7. Because when it's that high, they should win by that much. Yeah, exactly, because you just never know how the end of the game is going to shake out. Because Notre Dame's going to have some backups in. Northern Illinois might have some backups in. You know, how long does Northern Illinois keep their starters in against Notre Dame's backups? Like, you just don't know how that's going to go. You know what I mean? And so I wouldn't touch that line, even though I think they should win by that much, if not more. But those big numbers, man, it just gets a little bit scary. And the offense wasn't exactly firing on all cylinders last week. So, you know, if that was the case, if I've seen them put up, you know, some major yards and points and things like that, I'd be a little bit more apt to it. But I'm a 10 that they're going to win, but you know, to win by that much, I'm like a 6.5 or 7.
Yeah. I think I'm a 7, 7.5 for the reasons that you talked about. Like you said, the offense wasn't firing on all cylinders, but at the same time, they weren't playing Western Illinois.
I get it.
They were playing Texas A&M.
You're right.
But again, I need to see what this looks like against a team like this before I'm willing to be fully confident that they're going to cover these kind of, because they were big favorites a lot of times last year, the last 2 years, basically. And they haven't come anywhere close. You know, we thought that they were going to take it to the next level against some of these teams that were supposed to be pretty bad, but it hasn't happened. So you know, my confidence is more in that 7 range.
I will say this. Last year they took care of business against the crappy teams, right? 42-3 against Navy, 56-3 against Tennessee State, 45-24 against NC State, even though that was supposed to be a tough game. Central Michigan, they won 41-17. And Pitt, they won 58-7. So, I mean,
true. Wake Forest, they were better last year.
45-7 against Wake Forest and 56-23 against Stanford. Like,
all right, I'll push mine up to an 8. My confidence is an 8.
I'm like trying to convince myself, I think, at this point. But like, if we're just looking at last year, I think they do take care of business against teams that they should. So I'll up mine to like a 7.5, 8.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that was the knock on last year's team, right? They more than took care of the teams that they should, but against the better teams, couldn't get over that hump. You know, you couldn't be better. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Irish special teams coordinator Marty Biagi says the way James Rendell punted against Texas A&M was part of the game plan. Do you want me to read the quote?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, read the quote.
So he said, quote, there was a lot of game plan into it. We always want to make sure in that kind of environment, first game, what he felt like for sure was what he was comfortable with. That's the good part. He's so diverse. But even in the game, we made a couple different calls or checks that we hadn't necessarily practiced because of some of the different things they were doing. He did a great job being able to adjust. Really can put the ball anywhere on the field, which is an asset, end quote, from Marty Biaggi.
It's hogwash. I'm going back to the word I used earlier in the show because, look, the end result was, you know what, like almost 43 yards average on the five punts. Okay, that's okay. But those line drives, you're literally out kicking your coverage. You're not allowing them to get down the field. And so, you know, look, a 10-yard return on a punt's too much. That's too much. If he is who he's being advertised as, and I think he probably is, but in this game, he wasn't. He's supposed to be the 5.0, you know, 55-yard kick guy that by the time the ball comes down, he's surrounded by a bunch of Notre Dame guys and forcing a fair catch, you know? It didn't look like that. It looked a little too nonchalant for my taste and a little too line drivey for my taste.
I would agree with both of those. I don't know if the nonchalant, the line drivey, I just feel like if I'm like, you know, reading what Biaggi says, they were very safe. They were playing it safe out there in that environment, kind of like they were playing it safe with the offensive line. They didn't want a guy in, you know, a big environment like that, the first real big environment that he's ever been in. Because remember, again, sure, he said the biggest crowd that he'd ever been in front of before that when he was in Australia was when he was playing in, you know, like some 17U national championship, like 20,000. So the crowd was five times bigger than he's ever been in front of. And just everything. You don't want some crazy special teams play to be the difference in a win or a loss. So I can see them, you know, kind of playing it safe with a guy who's never been in that kind of pressure pack situation before.
But line drives aren't playing it safe. That allows them to return.
No, I agree. That's, you know, like, I mean, the one part, like, because, like, the coverage, because what was one of the things they needed to get better at compared to last year? The punt coverage, not letting them have those extra yards and stuff like that.
Now, he didn't shank it out of bounds or anything like that. And so, okay, cool. That's great. It was an average outing. Like, I'm not mad about it. I was just expecting more. So, you know, let's see what he can do at home, you know, this week.
And maybe I'll change my tune. See big booming punts this weekend at Notre Dame. I mean, they might not have to punt. Who knows?
Well, that's fair too. I mean, look, I'm not expecting him to look like a traditional punter, you know, because he's never done it before. I'm just expecting to, you know, what we've been told that he does. That's what I'm expecting. You know, supposedly he was booming them during pregame, 70-yard kicks, you know, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, didn't translate.
Herrick, I tend to agree with you. He says he's never punted in college football. He wasn't sure of the full throttle timing. He was rushing punts, I could tell. And I did, you know, that's why I said, like, those first couple especially, it felt like maybe, like, he was feeling pressure on, you know, like, in terms of the rush on him that wasn't there. Like, he was, you know, like, very conscious of trying to get it out early, and they weren't that great as a result.
Well, this is going to sound negative, and that's kind of my thing, but that's okay. But that's on the coaching staff then. Heat him up in practice. I don't understand why he was so, like, shaken in a game, but with them coming after him.
They heat up the offensive line in practice, but they played it safe with them in terms of what they were doing. So
true, but they didn't give up any sacks either.
No. But, you know, James Rendell didn't make any negative plays in the punt game.
He did not. No, he did not.
We're just going to have the harshest punter critic all season long in Vince D'Addario. Is what we're going to have. I think we need to bring on the other D'Addario, who's actually an expert on the subject.
You might have to, but just don't promise me 5.0s 50-plus every time and not deliver. That's all I'm saying. Don't give me the promises. You got to deliver. That's all.
That's going to do it for tonight. Vince has got a roll. Yep. Good stuff. A lot of good questions in the mailbag earlier tonight. Tomorrow is We In, We Out Day. So don't forget to go to the New Champions Lounge. Submit your We In, We Out questions for tomorrow's show. And we'll have some of the latest comments from Marcus Freeman at the start of the show as well from his noon Zoom call. with the media that is not broadcast to the public. So we'll have some of that on tomorrow's show as well. Vince, enjoyed it as always. I will talk to you on Friday.
Yes, sir. Ready and waiting.
That'll be when we do Countdown to Kickoff, of course. Until then, hit the like button before you leave. And, of course, subscribe, rate, and review. And we will talk to you later on IB Nation Sports Talk.